Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Dean Dickey, and together with my partner, Kathleen Copenhofer, we represent the appellants, Andrew Joseph and Isamu Fairbanks, who are two members of an Illinois LLC called Fairbanks LLC, Ian Dowdy, who is an employee of Fairbanks LLC, and Mr. Martin Craig, who is neither an employee nor member of Fairbanks LLC, or a party to the lawsuit which the district court used as a basis for its decision in the state court. And what we are here today asking this court for is an order reversing the district court. The district court's granting of a motion to strike and dismiss plaintiff's motion for preliminary injunction, and to enter the preliminary injunction requested, or alternatively, to return the case to the district court for an evidentiary hearing on the appellant's motion for preliminary injunction, which the district court struck and dismissed.
I'm not sure what the point of a remand would be, since all of these documents have been produced in discovery.
Well, they have, if I may, Your Honor, the documents that were produced in the federal court after having requested them from the defendants and met with a refusal. And the way in which the documents were obtained by a subpoena from the source that stored those documents. You see, this is a unique situation where the federal case is an action brought under the Stored Communications Act, and we have no knowledge, without knowing what they got, what documents they illegally obtained in violation of that act. What the purpose of the motion for preliminary injunction was, Your Honor, was to put the parties in the position they would have been in had the illegal conduct under the Stored Communication Act not taken place. It's as if we turned the clock back so that the feuding members of the LLC start with the same state court rules with respect to discovery, protective orders, and the like. It is not unlike a situation where someone seizes evidence under the Fourth Amendment in violation and then wants to use it in court. The whole point of the motion for preliminary injunction was to put the parties in a position where if they had litigation, they followed the rules of the Illinois court with respect to that. Over 400,000 emails and documents have been obtained electronically. And all we asked the district court to do was to basically order that the parties be put back into the status quo.
Where are the documents now?
The documents, Your Honor, are on an electronic disk which were obtained under a protective order, first from a schedule from 123 Together and then a storage service called Sonium. And those documents give us at this point, because of the federal use of those, the opportunity to know exactly what was produced, because ordinarily in a lawsuit, one files a document request, and then if the document request is overly broad, evasive, or asks for privileged material, you have an opportunity to address that.
What do you want to do? Subtract some of the documents out or go through the whole thing?
What we want to do is we want all of the documents. What we asked for was an order requiring all of the documents and emails which the defendants in the Stored Communications case, this case, received, and they're free to make any requests for documents in the state court subject to the Illinois discovery rules under the Illinois Code of Civil
Aren't they all available now?
They're available in the sense of we now know what the universe was, which includes privileged communications with the appellant's lawyers, irrelevant material, privacy material, things that ordinarily would have been subject to legitimate objections under the state court rules. But by means of accessing the storage facility without authorization, they simply acquired a universe of information they would never have been able to obtain in the first place.
Right, but they have the same universe of information now legitimately, so we're going in circles if we order them to disgorge that universe of information.
They do not have those documents in the context of the state court case. They've made no document requests.
Well, they have them. So, I mean, this is Well, this is like angels dancing on the head of a pin. You're
it's not the same, Your Honor, because if in fact, because of the federal case, they now have them, that doesn't mean that they can use them. That doesn't mean
you can fight that out in state court.
Well, that would be correct, Your Honor, if in fact there was any production of any documents that are covered by this in the state court. What you are essentially saying is that if a party violates a federal statute to acquire information and it's later discovered and they refuse to produce it to you and you have to, in order to find out what they got, go to the source, and then you say, well, that moots the preliminary injunction proceeding, that would then open the door anytime to improper conduct. When were these documents or these emails searched in violation of the act?
You can still litigate all of that in the context of the federal action and litigate the state court action, but the injunction that you're asking for seems to me to be pointless.
Well, but it's not just the return of the documents. The injunction, Your Honor, asked for the non-destruction of evidence. What we learned was that the
search... Why can't you get that through a protective order?
Get what through a protective order? The discretion
of the state court to order them not to destroy anything in their possession. Ask the federal court to order them not to destroy anything.
We did, Your Honor. That was part of the motion for preliminary injunction that was ignored by the district court. The relief requested in the motion for preliminary injunction was several fold. One, we asked that all of the purloined stored information that they got months before there was any litigation be returned so it wasn't in their possession. Two, we asked that there be an order that there be no further destruction of documents and evidence. Three, all of which were part and parcel of the specific remedies provided by the Federal Stored Communications Act. And we're in the federal court seeking relief under a federal statute which is entirely different than a garden variety business dispute in the Circuit Court of Cook County between feuding members over the operating agreement and various other provisions that relate simply to the business. The Stored Communications Act, we believe, provides relief for the conduct that took place without our knowledge before anything happened.
Right, and you may have a cause of action. Nothing is prohibiting you from litigating that cause of action, but the preliminary injunction that you're asking for asks them to return something that's already legitimately in their possession. It's going in circles, and well, you can get your non-destruction order from the state court.
No, Your Honor, it is not legitimately in their possession because they obtained that information. What we got was a record of what it is they took because they refused to give us to us. And what you're simply saying is because we used the discovery process when the recalcitrant defendants refused to produce the information, you're saying that, oops, that moots the preliminary injunction, which was intended to put the parties back in the same position they would have been in at the time the dispute arose.
So you want everything that you gave them in discovery back?
Well,
in addition to an injunction ordering them to return everything that they supposedly unlawfully took.
Because I don't know whether everything that was produced by the storage company is in fact what it was that they got because they've refused to identify or produce all of what they received. They took a position in the discovery that they weren't going to produce it, and the only place we could get it so that we would know what they took was to go to the storage facility that had a record of that, and they would not have been able to access any of that information because the members never authorized that kind of wholesale invasion. And number two, they had to pay a special fee to access it, and they did so in a surreptitious fashion. If I understand the court correctly, what you're suggesting is, well, even though they may have violated the law, we don't have to put them back into the position they were in because you, the plaintiff appellants, used the process to find out what it was they took.
I'm not asking a merits question about the validity of your claim. You're not being precluded from litigating the substance of your claim. The question that we're here on is whether the district court improperly denied preliminary injunctive relief, and the judge did so on abstention grounds for the most part, which is a separate issue that hasn't been addressed yet. But my questions go to mootness and whether we've got anything to order here, since now if all of these documents are legitimately through discovery in the hands of the defendants, so to order them to return it is circular.
Well, it's not circular because what we are doing is an exclusion, asking for them to be in a position where they don't have anything that they got improperly under the Stored Communications Act. What we're asking the court to do is to say, the parties go back, we turn back the clock, and now you start and you ask for, under the state rule, documents. If they submit a document request that articulates what they want and they get privileged information in that request, I can object to that. Right now, they have the benefit, and they had it before any lawsuit began, of the privileged information which they searched improperly, we believe, under the Stored Communications Act, with which the district judge agrees. They have information from our lawyer and all of that, and what all we did was to try to find out what it is they took. Because when you're dealing with the wholesale searches and the search parameters, and what did Ms. Carnes testify that's in the record that she searched? She created search parameters. We had to ask the folks at Sonian and create the search parameters. I don't know whether we got everything. I don't know whether, in fact, in this wholesale searching, all of the privileged material was in their hands, but I do know that if there's an order saying it all goes back and you have to start with a document request, those documents would be bait stamped, those documents would be identified, and to the extent there were objections, we'd have the opportunity to make objections to the information.
What is inhibiting that from occurring in the state court litigation? That process that you want to engage in?
I don't know, and there's no certificate or no testimony under oath that all of the materials which have been obtained in violation of the Stored Communications Act, which is a federal act, have been returned and are not in our possession. So how do I know, without a index and a recording of everything that goes back, whether they have returned it all or not? And so in the state court proceeding, if a document turns up that was not part of what I know they had, they say, well, you produced it in this case. I don't know that. But what I want them to be in a position to say is, nothing that we are using in this case comes from the improperly searched record keeping. And I don't think that you can keep an index or an analysis of what was improperly obtained without first creating a baseline. The baseline isn't just the documents that we were able to obtain as in part, but it would be a representation and a certificate of completeness of discovery in the federal court that all
can't you obtain that in discovery?
Okay. Your Honor,
it seems to me like you're using the injunction proceeding as a discovery device.
No, Your Honor, because the discovery device goes to our requests, and they certify that, yes, they returned everything that we requested. But what if the request doesn't cover, or there's a word game about whether it covers everything that they obtained? Without a benchmark and a certificate that says everything should go back, and there should be no further discretion of any search terms, all of that creates a baseline beginning.
Well, you can get your non-destruction order through the discovery rules in either the state or federal litigation, right?
Your Honor, yes, you can. But if you don't know what they had in the first instance, how do you know what you're asking and whether any destruction order is complete? And what we're dealing with is a situation that is not like any usual litigation, where the defendants here obtain literally tens of thousands of pieces of paper and information unbeknownst and unauthorized by us, and there's no list by them of what they received. They refused to give it. So without that court order, I can't get it back. More importantly, I also can't get the other relief that was requested in the preliminary injunction beyond just returning the emails, but the statute, the Stored Communication Act, has provisions for other relief, which is set forth. I see my time is exhausted on this, and we haven't talked about Younger, and if the court has any questions about Younger, I would simply note that for a variety of reasons, the application by Younger by the district judge was way off base and not supported, and I'd be happy to talk about it, but we've occupied the time on this this issue, so thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ordauer.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Peter Ordauer. I represent the appellees, who are the majority owners of Fairbanks LLC, as well as an employee who is the information technology manager. I think Mr. Dickey's arguments very well showed what is wrong with the entire premise of this case. Everything that he argued was geared towards saying that we're improperly trying to obtain some advantage in the state court case, that we've obtained documents that we may improperly seek to use in the state court case. And aside from the merits of that, what it shows is that he is asking this court, as well as Judge Dara, to manage the state court case. He is implicitly suggesting that the state judge is unable to decide for himself what documents can be admissible, whether we did something wrong. And as this court has suggested, obviously that the if there are issues relating to the propriety of submitting evidence in that case, that is for the state court to decide. And if he's wrong, there's an appellate court in the state of Illinois to rectify that. And it is entirely misguided to try to circumvent that entire process after that case has been filed by going to another court in a parallel judicial system and saying, we think this court should destroy the evidence. We think this court should make them give the documents back to us, even though we didn't even get the documents from them. And we think they should be confiscated and locked up so that this judge can never see them. That's the purpose of the case. And that's the purpose of the injunction. And they made no bones about it in the hearing with Judge Dara, which we quoted in our brief. They made no bones about the fact that the purpose of seeking a preliminary injunction is to prevent the use of documents in state court. And I would submit to the court that this is a civil case. There's no police action of improperly obtaining documents in violation of the Constitution involved here. And whether or not the documents are legally obtained or illegally obtained is for and therefore should be used or not in the state court is something that the state court judge is perfectly able to decide, and that's why we brought a case in the state court system, and that's why a parallel system exists, and that's what and that was an important part of what Judge Dara decided in denying the motion for preliminary injunction.
The federal claims are counterclaims in the state court litigation, is that right?
They have not raised explicitly a claim on there are counterclaims. There's not an explicit claim, I don't think, that says there was a violation of the Stored Communications Act. There is an explicit counterclaim that says the documents were obtained illegally and that that's...
Without citing a legal theory?
Right.
But that counterclaim ostensibly would cover...
That's right. They're obviously they're the same issues in this case.
Judge Dara didn't actually abstain in this case.
That's absolutely correct.
He cited principles of the principles of federalism and comity that underlie the Younger abstention doctrine, but he didn't really abstain. He just used those principles as a basis to deny relief.
That's absolutely correct, and that's why I think when you look at the briefs that the other side filed, they placed an awful lot of their time and energy into arguing the Younger abstention doctrine. And that's simply not an issue in this case. The court did not abstain from anything. The court denied a motion. Younger deals with abstention. And the court did not base its decision to deny the preliminary injunction based on Younger. It cited Younger for principles of federalism and comity and equity, which have been recognized in Younger and in SKS, another case the court cited, and in many cases from the Supreme Court on down, which say that the federal courts should be allowing state court cases to be decided by state court judges. Obviously, if there is a violation of the United States Constitution, then the federal courts can get involved. But to do what counsel is asking here, to simply breathe down the neck of another judge on evidentiary rulings and say, we're going to just destroy these documents before you can even think about a ruling, is absurd.
Well, you're already under a duty of non-destruction by virtue of the requirements in litigation, both federally and in the state system. You can't destroy evidence, otherwise you're going to be guilty of all kinds of violations.
I agree, and I think that's one of the reasons that a federal injunction would be ineffective and wrong to begin with.
Well, I'm trying to address the mootness question here. There isn't anything to be enjoined.
I think you asked that question of Mr. Dickey, and he evaded it somewhat. You asked, where are the documents now? The answer to that is everybody has those documents now. We have a hard disk that was provided by Mr. Dickey's associate at the law firm, which contains every one of the documents that are in dispute here, which they obtained by a subpoena, which nobody forced on them, from the archiving service that keeps those documents.
So the other side says they want a baseline. They want to compare what has been disclosed lawfully during the discovery process with what your side allegedly stole unlawfully, and that they need disgorgement of this duplicate set to accomplish that. I assume that there's been some discovery taken about what was allegedly stolen?
Yes, there's been lots of discovery. The parties have been deposed. The archiving service and the email service has been deposed. And what they show is that there was absolutely no improper obtaining of the documents at all. One thing I want to make very clear is that all of the documents at issue are corporate documents. They are not the individual appellant's documents. They never were. These are documents that were in the company archives, paid for by the company, all using the company's email address.
But to get to my question,
yes.
By virtue of the discovery that has already been taken, everybody knows what was accessed.
That's correct.
And you can litigate the lawfulness and unlawfulness of that access, whether it was authorized or not, based on what everybody already knows.
Absolutely. You don't need a preliminary injunction to take back documents while you're thinking about whether there was a violation or not. And that's obviously a backwards way of doing things. To try and decide, to impose the remedy in advance, which is not even allowed or empowered under the Stored Communications Act, before there's been a finding of any violation, and where the Stored Communications Act doesn't even provide for a suppression remedy. And we've cited numerous cases in which courts have decided throughout the country that there is no such suppression remedy created or allowed by the Stored Communications Act. That's one thing, because the Stored Communications Act has a very specific set of remedies, including damages, and every court which has looked at the issue has said that there is no suppression remedy, and it also doesn't cover post-acquisition use of the documents. All it addresses, and it's very clear from the words of the statute itself, is the unauthorized accessing of a facility storing electronic communications. And there is no question here that my clients had lawful access to the facility. It was their business. They were email administrators. And in fact, I'm a little bit overstating the case in one respect here, which is they haven't even accused my clients of violating the Stored Communications Act. There is essentially there are four defendants who I represent. Two of them are not even alleged to have violated the Stored Communications Act. The only claim against them is for conspiracy to violate the act, which courts have said is not even a cause of action. And essentially, there's really only one defendant who they say conducted these searches, Lisa Carnes. She's the owner of the company. She's an email administrator, and she's looking through the company archives. So I going back to the issue that you are really faced with today, I think, did Judge Dara properly deny the motion for a preliminary injunction? Well, we've touched on two of those issues relating to preliminary injunctions. One is it in the public interest to order an injunction when the effect of it is essentially going to be to interfere with the conduct of a state court proceeding? I think the obvious answer to that, and the one that Judge Dara found, was no, it is not in the public interest, and I'm denying the motion on that basis. Another prerequisite, obviously, is a likelihood of success on the merits. And for all the reasons that we cited, the fact that these were not their documents to begin with, that there was no improper access of a facility, there's a protocol set up by the email archiving company for doing just the kind of searches that this one owner is alleged to have done. And there was absolutely no impropriety here, and the entire nature of the claim is that somehow there is he's trying to engraft some kind of common law privacy concern into the Stored Communications Act, and that's not there. The Stored Communications Act is only about accessing a facility without authorization, and the plaintiff's counsel is trying to amend the statute, essentially, to say what it really addresses is that you need to get everyone's personal permission to look at the contents of the documents in there. And if our name is on one of those documents, if we were the recipient or the sender, then that constitutes a violation of the act, and you should have gotten our permission. Cornerstone Consultants and a number of other cases say that that's dead wrong. That's not what the statute addresses. The statute simply addresses the unauthorized accessing of a facility. And again, this is the owner of the business accessing the business's own archives. And I would suggest that one of the important considerations here is also what is the consequence if one were to find that this is a proper use of the statute. The policy implication would be that an owner has no right to look at the company's own emails to see what's going on in the company. How can you control the company? How can you protect it? How can you ensure that it's complying with the law? I would suggest you can't. And I see my time is up. I just want to say that when you look at Judge Dara's opinion, and you look at the even just the headings of his opinion, the analysis section, you see that he went down each of the factors for a preliminary injunction. He gave proper weight to them. He came out with the right decision and reasoned decision on them. And I would submit that there is absolutely no error in what he did. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dickey, your time had run out. I'll give you a minute if you have anything further to say.
I do, Your Honor, just very quickly. I can run through several points. First, Judge Dara found a likelihood of success on the merits, notwithstanding what counsel just said. Secondly, in terms of Your Honor...
Well, that we review that de novo.
I understand that. But he did make that finding, which is contrary to what he said. Second, Your Honor asked what would be the purpose of the injunction. We also sought to prevent further unauthorized access in violation of the storage communication. So that's prospective. It has nothing to do with what happened. And you asked about the state court case. There's nothing in the state court counterclaim that deals with the Stored Communications Act. The counterclaims for the appellants involve breach of fiduciary duty, oppression under the Illinois Business Code, and a breach of the right of privacy under the state of Illinois. And we would still, Your Honor, ask you to reverse and send it back for further evidentiary proceedings. Thank you for giving me the additional time.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.